Two quick things. Thank you.
Two quick things. First of all, well-known nitziv, I'm sure many of you have seen it. If you haven't, I'll just mention it very briefly, that Chazal have a nickname for every Sefer in the Torah. So Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula, Vayikra is Taras Kohanim, Amidbar is Chumash HaPekudim, the Book of Counting, Devarim is Mishneh Torah. And we all think that the most popular nickname for Bereishis is Sefer HaYetzirah, when the world was created. So we already talked about that Rashi that debunks that idea, because Rashi says, why does the Torah even bother writing about creation when the ideas are so cryptic and indecipherable? But of course it is called Sefer HaYetzirah, but the Nitziv says it was more popular in Chazal to refer to Bereishis as Sefer HaYisharim or Sefer HaYashar, which of course means that the world was created through morality, kindness, compassion. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our world. And that's how Avram created the world of Hashem, the kingdom of God, on this world. And the word Yashar for the Nesiv doesn't mean chesed or charity or tzedakah, although that's one manifestation. It just means being kind, flexible, forgiving, forbearing, embracing, generosity of spirit. Think of the world of interaction as composed of two areas. Actions that are permissible, actions that are forbidden, actions that are obligated, staka, and then just being a good person, being a kind person, being a warm person, being a generous person. Want to close the door, Dr. J? Thanks. Being a generous person. And yashar doesn't mean that they perform staka. Yashar means, in the way, in the terminology of the Nitziv, lifnim mishur asadin. Lifnim mishur asadin doesn't just mean this halacha or that halacha. It just means you think about the type of person you are. And we see two of those traits beginning to emerge in Lech Lecha. After all, if you look at Avram and Lech Lecha, there's a lot of theology. Moving to Israel, building mizbeachs, meeting Malki Tzedek, trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bris Milah. So Lech Lecha is really heavy on the theology. But you do find two moments in Avraham's story where you just see him as being a good, kind person. And not only a good, kind person, but the types of traits that help you in life. And of course, if they help you in life, they help you become a better Oved Hashem. One trait is flexibility, the ability to see, the ability not to always be so demanding and rigid and what are my rights. So much of anger in this world is because you don't get what you think you deserve, and you're stuck in traffic, and things don't work out your way, and you didn't get the food, and you didn't get the room, and you didn't get the seat, and you didn't get the... And Avram is very, very generous with Lot. I talked on Wednesday night that maybe he shouldn't have been that generous with Lot, being that Lot had his designs on traveling to stone. But if you eliminate the stone part of it, Lot and Avram are involved in a fracas, involved in friction, and Avram could have easily said, look, I'm the man. I brought you here. So I give you a place to live. I'll give your cattle a place to graze. But this is how it's going to go down. There's one person making the decision here. And his name is Avram at this point. And you're you're not the head of this entourage. And yet he comes across as just very, very easygoing about it. He says, Im hai small v'yemina, im hai yamin v'asmila. You make your choice. You take a choice, I'll take the leftovers. You want to go left, I'll go right. You want to go right, you make the choice. And you see two traits here. First of all, generosity of spirit, flexibility in interpersonal relationships, which is key to relationships. In any relationship, there has to be someone that compromises, that cedes territory. If you're not going to be able to make a compromise, and you'd better be the one that initiates it, because if you're waiting for people to make that compromise, the relationship is going to have a hard time surviving. Now, sometimes you can have rotating compromises. If I make a compromise, you make a compromise. But if you're not willing to make a compromise, if your relationship is based on who's right is for lawyers. So you want to be a lawyer, you be a successful lawyer deciding who's right. Relationships are not about who's right. Relationships are how can we build. And when you build, everyone has to see territory. And to be honest, as we've talked about in the past, that's why it's very difficult for people to get married when they're advanced in age, because it's more difficult to be flexible and to see territory, because you become more set in your ways. When you're 21 years old, you don't really have that many ways. So you're flexible, you move in with someone, you find that common ground. When you're a single person, earning a lot of money, living in an apartment with a doorman, traveling 3 times vacation, when you have a life, remember, 40 years ago, there wasn't such a thing called singles living. Singles didn't live on their own. You lived in your parents' house until you got married. Okay, every once in a while, you have to move to college. Today, there's a culture of people living as singles, and Baruch Hashem there is, because there's so many singles, and it would be less comfortable for them to live under their parents' roofs. So Baruch Hashem, there's a self-sustaining in America, in New York, and the West Side, and other places in Eretz Yisrael. But it does, the back end is it creates more rigidity, less flexibility, because you create a world for yourself that's more complete than it used to be. It used to be you hung on until you got married, which was unhealthy for many people. I'm not trying to paint black and white. It's not binary. You were hanging on until you got married. You live with your parents. At a certain point, it's not the way people want to live at mid-20s. So you're on the periphery. You came to shul, but it's not really, you know, everyone in shul had husbands and everyone in shul had wives and children. You're sitting on the side. So it's a sense, you know what, to belong, I need to get married. Today, there's an autonomous, self-sustaining single community, Baruch Hashem, because it's necessary. But one of the dangers challenges is that when you become very, very set in your ways, it's much harder to make compromises and to sustain relationships. So this is a good secret for relationship building. Whenever you get into a fight with someone, your friend, your parents, your wife one day, be the first person to compromise. Be the first person to be generous. Be the first person to say, you know what, I'll do a little less of what I want, and we'll go your way. You'll see magically how great the relationships become. What you also see in Avram is, in general, forget relationships, in life, there's a healthy balance between flexibility and rigidity. And the extreme form of rigidity is called OCD, where everything has to be exactly right. It's not really OCD, but it's the O of the OCD part of it. The C is the compulsive, where you have to constantly do certain things. But people are looking for security. The doors have to be just right. The room has to be just right. The setting has to be just right. Everything has to be just right. There's a certain sense, and of course, we need organization in our world. We need order. We need expectations to be met. Everyone has their, one of the values I learned from one of my teachers in college, and one of the great parts of college is if you got great people to learn from, you just have to know who to learn from. No, we leave it on. Both have to be on, just the rules, okay? Okay, so one of the nice parts of college is you really get to meet interesting and inspiring people. But don't be inspired by how smart the teacher is. That doesn't mean anything. A lot of people are smart. I've met smart people before. Some of you in this room I've heard are smart. I haven't showed it yet. Some of you are very smart. Be impressed by people who really live lifestyles that you admire. And you can learn about some teachers I found, not just my rabbi, I found some of my professors very inspiring. They taught me a lot about life. And one of my professors, Alava Shalom, who's a Jew, and unfortunately he passed away from cancer. And this was in the 80s. He'd walk into his room, and he had a computer on his desk, so that's where I got into computers. And his desk was spit clean. I mean, there's nothing on the desk but a computer, and everything was organized. And I just realized that to think cleanly, you need clean space. If you're sitting and thinking, that's why when I dive, I try to have your mind not distracted by dirt and disorganization. And I learned that at some point I have to clean my air. I never reach his standard, his grade, but like, you know, every once in a while, my desk gets full of swarm, and I say, you know what, I'm not thinking well. Put everything where it belongs so I can think, so I'm not being distracted by papers and pens and mice and rats and mice and whatever. And so order is important, but sometimes in life, we become so rigid in the way we can function. I can only have this in it. And you forget morally, you'll just develop mentally, you'll drive yourself crazy because the world never sets itself up, right? All the best plans, go south when you get into war. You have all these great plans. Those of you, I heard some people talking about the Thanksgiving football games this year. You know, a real quarterback is not someone that can sit there in the game room on Friday and make a play. It's when everything's going south and you've got to scramble, you've got to fling it, you've got to, that's the, when it becomes playground ball, not necessarily all the plays that you've scripted. So life is very much like that. You have all the scripting, and then in real time, very, very little works out the way you plan it based on your expectations. And to be able to be flexible. So some of you, it's a good time to take stock of these two traits. Are you someone that's extremely rigid? And try to think about putting yourself into situations in which you're less comfortable, out of your comfort zone, because all the conditions around you are not perfect. There's too much noise, there's too much distraction, you don't have enough room, it's too hot, it's too cold, you're too hungry, the guy next to you is bothering you, right? Some people, I worked on this a lot in my life. I tended, when I was your age, to like really hone in on people that were creating a nuisance in the base matters, or playing with their pens, or that were, learning loud, or moving. And as I said, I have to let go. I have to train my mind to let go. I have to train my mind and myself to operate even. I can't control my world. I can't tell people how to act. It's like I can tell people, you do this, you do that. If I want to be in the world around me, I have to let people act in ways that may be irritating or annoying and just learn not to let it get to me. And it's not always so easy. It's not going to happen overnight. But just be aware of it. Don't go to that place where you're starting to steam and get angry. And okay, so people are going to be irritating sometimes you move. And I'm very proud of my record. I've been in the Beis Medrash for a long, long time. And you know, there were always the chazanim in the Beis Medrash who sing the Gemara very, very loud when there's no one else in the Beis Medrash. Believe me, I've had my share. I used to learn a lot in the Beis Medrash on Friday in Gush by myself. I really take advantage of my Fridays till I had older children. I literally learned 3-4 hours in the Beis Medrash on Friday, and there's always that one guy who, Amr Hun, Amr Yaakov, Amr Yitzchak. Please, there's two people here. I never said a word. I always went somewhere else. I always went, really, I've got, that's my streak. I never, ever ask people to tone it down a little bit because, you know, that's the way they learn. And there's a masar of learning out loud that some people, obviously when I learned Be'in, it's harder to learn out loud because you're not just reading lines and translating. You're trying to think and develop depth. So, but I never felt like I should step in and control how people want to learn and suppress their own expression in Torah. So there really are two traits on display. Number one is to be a person that compromises. Number two is not to be so rigid. You go left, I'll go right. Okay, you want me to sit in the back? I'll sit in the back. You want me to sit in the back of the plane? Okay, 37FG, seat 172B. Okay, I'll sit on the wing. Just not everything will work out the way you need it to work out. And just to take it in stride, take it with calm, breathe, it'll pass. What's important in life, your health, your relationship with your people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's okay, so you have to suffer a little bit. So the food on the plane didn't come out warm enough, it was cold. Okay, so it's funny. I remember Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's one of his most irate moments is he read in New York, just to show you how sometimes we get dragged into the cultural pit without realizing, wait a second, I shouldn't be here. There's a New York Times article reviewing various airplane foods, which had the best food. You can imagine Rav Lichtenstein went ballistic. Like, why is that even important? You're on a plane to get somewhere. Eat, don't eat, you're hungry, you're not hungry. Why would you rate airplane food? It's just something that's available while you're in transit from place to place. And when you think about it, he's right. Okay, you're not on a plane to eat. You're on a plane to get from location A to B. I don't eat on planes because I want to sleep on planes. So you have some food, you don't have food. Talk to people who don't travel on the El Al line from New York to Tel Aviv. People who travel to the Far East, to China. They're eating nuts and seaweed for weeks. They take the little piece of cake in the airplane and say, okay, I ordered a kosher meal, didn't come, let's sue American Airlines. Okay, so the world's not going to end if you didn't get your little piece of chicken. Anyway, second trait of Avram, also a moral trait, but a trait in general in life, is here's his chance, right? We're all waiting for that, the word, four-letter word, starts with F, really, really tantalizes us. Free, right? Well, you get that email, you get free this and free that, and then all of a sudden you're clicking, you're clicking, you're clicking, before you know it, you got viruses from here to Wazoo, malware, and viruses, and spookware, and fishware, all of a sudden, what?
It's just 5%.
Everyone wants a free lunch in life. Everyone's looking for a free lunch and a free ride. Break it, guys. Break it. Anything worth having in this life is worth investing in. Don't expect any freebies. Because when you expect freebies, then all of a sudden you enfeeble yourself and you wait for freebies. What you want, go get. Earn it, work hard at it, value it. If it comes free, fine. If it doesn't come, but there's this desire and greed, and I want the free, and I want the easy, and I want the without the. Just break that expectation. Okay, I promise you, I'm trying to say this is gold. That's a word, bad metaphor. This is a golden advice. If you can train yourself not to expect, really, so much of human frustration is expectations. What do I expect? What is coming to me? What do I expect? If you put yourself into that space where you don't expect anything to come to you. And whatever you want, you'll get, and you'll earn, and you'll work hard for. I promise you, you'll be a happy, happy person. If you expect everyone, government, and people, and friends, and family to all serve you, you will be really frustrated and angry when it doesn't turn out and when those expectations aren't met. If you lower your expectations in life, you'll be a happy person. Work against greed. I told you this early in the, I don't know who was around, but I'll never forget this interview. In the early twos, there was an energy scandal in Houston. It was called the Enron scandal, remember? And there were these, Houston had an energy boom in the late 90s, and two or three of the companies, the execs were caught skimming profits, so they threw him in jail. And the interviewer asked one of these execs, I forget the name, whoever the person was, like, don't you realize you had $800 million legally? You could have supported yourself, your family, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Life's a luxury, trust fund kids. So for an extra $10 million, you're going to sit in jail for 40 years? And I'll never forget the statement because it was such naked greed and jealousy. So I know, but the other exec had more than me. And it showed me how greed blinds us. Just be happy with what you have. Look at other people for inspiration, but don't look at them, well, what do they have? Their family, their money, their good looks. Yeah? don't be jealous of other people. So I feel just, you know, naturally blessed. What can I say? Don't be jealous. Who's left? Don't be jealous of other people. And in general, a really good line that someone told me, there's a halacha of samech b'chalko even in ruchnias. Sometimes we become greedy in ruchnias. So why can't I be like that person? Why can't I be like that person? Either in our own personal words or in what we accomplish. Just be samech b'chalko. Hashem gave you health. You can put on tefillin, daven like a yid. Be a pashut a yid. Be a pashut a yid. Give tzedakah, have midos. Sometimes opportunities come. Use them. They don't come. Don't use them. So much politics sometimes of people that need to be the one. I need to be the one. I need to be the Rebbe, the teacher, the Rosh Hashiva. If you're invited to the ball, come. If Hashem doesn't invite you to the ball, don't crash the ball. I know a lot of ball crashers. I wasn't invited, but I'm going to. You know, a lot of takers. I'm going to just stay within yourself. Don't be passive. Don't be feeble. If there are chances that come, accept them. But sometimes people get very, very aggressive in trying to take for themselves when it's l'shem shamayim. So I'll answer some of the questions in a moment. But these are two good traits to think about over Shabbos. One is be flexible, be easygoing, compromise, let people have it. You'll see. You can't put a price on happiness and bliss. I'm telling you, you can't put a price on happiness and bliss. So I'd rather be internally happy than have more. Because I know that when I'm not happy internally, my whole world is upside down. I can't. I'd rather just stay within myself and be internally tranquil and serene and happy. I'm not confrontational. I don't like when people are upset at me, say things. It's just I like to have everything even, straight, balanced, and I can spend my time doing what I want to do, loving the people I want to love, serving the people I want to serve, learning the Torah, and then it's just without friction. I think some people live for tension and live for politics and live for the fight and live for the confrontation. Confrontation isn't good. Flexibility is good. It's okay. I'd rather give up a lot than be torn apart inside thinking about why the person's angry with me. Not good for your heart, not good for your inner self. And the second part is just, though, sounds like these traits bleed in on each other. Sound like the same trait, but it's really true. Because if there's a certain orientation to life, then all these traits are really tolados. There's one or two avosa midos, and then there's tolados. And the second tolda is, don't expect free things. Okay, Reuben, you've been chomping at the bit. What's your ha'ara? You should be greedy. Wolf on Wall Street. So look, I'll answer the question two ways. First of all, with all these traits, almost every trait, it's a question of balance. The only two traits that shouldn't be balanced are anger and arrogance, as the Rambam says. So every trait I mention here, if it's successively expressed, it can lead to, as I try to point out every trait that I present, but in specific, that's your point. Don't fall into pessimism. Be optimistic about your world. Be optimistic, but just say, but I'm optimistic about what I can control. What I can control, it will happen or won't happen. That's not pessimism. That's just limiting what you expect. I expect to have a beautiful life. My beautiful life is me, a couple sheep, my wife, my kids. Now Hashem wants more from me, then he'll take me and give me more. But that's what I can't control. I own a little farm, and you know, my dream one day is to hang them up and just retire to a farm and just be happy, Mother Nature. If anyone has a little time that they're not learning Torah, okay, I really shouldn't say it because it's not very rabbinic, so I'll end here.